Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Dale Murphy, Greg LeMond, Joey Devine, Mary Lou Retton, Sugar Ray Leonard, Sean Keen, Joe Paterno, Arthur Ashe, musical guest The Buggles, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of Round Ball Rock, and I'm here, as always, with permanent co-host, Sean Keen. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm getting permanent co-host tattooed on my calf.
Sean, I heard that your Luka Doncic songs have been so popular, you're going to be performing them at halftime of a Fort Wayne Mad Ants game. Is this true?
That is true. I'm flying myself to Fort Wayne, but I'm going to be performing it. It's me and... I requested a second microphone, and I'm just going to play the instrumental part from my phone into the microphone. I think that'll sound
great.
Pretty good.
That should be awesome. I hope the Fort Wayne Mad Ants have to answer really embarrassing questions about the songs after the game.
I hope so. I mean, I want to pose with an awkward picture. Also, I'm bringing three wigs, and I'm planning to change the range first.
Very cool. You should wear all three wigs just stacked on top of your head.
Hell yeah. Like, wearing a wig at an important thing, especially when no one knows who you are, is a really great move. But I have written a brand new Luka song for
Don't spoil it. Spoil it. We'll talk about that at the end.
Oh, sorry.
But should we get straight to, let's some business on top. Yeah. We have a very cool announcement we're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
Round Ball Rock, now available on Spotify.
Yeah, that's right.
Get
on our level, Pandora.
Hey, I have submitted us to Pandora.
Oh, good.
Well, who knows if we'll get in or not.
They really should put us on Pandora.
Yeah, I did work there for 1 year.
That's true.
I mean, maybe I should email some of my former coworkers.
Oh, that's a step you could take.
We've heard a lot from our listeners lately, and we want to keep hearing from you because, you know, it's a lot better than doing a podcast you think no one is listening to.
What's that?
Doing a podcast where people are listening to you. So keep telling us if you like the show. Give us 5-star reviews on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter @RoundRockPod or email us @RoundRockPod. Or You can always call us on the phone at 323-682-0342.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't spell all? Anything. That number, I tried it.
I sat for like an hour trying to figure out what it spelled, and it spells nothing.
There's nothing good, yeah.
Should we make another announcement, or should we wait until Thursday for another big announcement we have?
I think let's announce it now.
Sure. We've had a lot of people asking us for... if there's a place where you can listen to all of the Slam Dups.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be releasing an album of all the Slam Dups.
Yeah, with permission from Brett and Randy. Unfortunately, in order to get the licensing, we had to extend their contract another 2 years.
Yeah. So we'll have a bigger announcement about where you can get that and how much it will cost and all that later on. But just know we're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Should we start the show?
Let's start the show.
It's been 4 minutes. all right.
hey, Spotify listeners, get ready.
At least we didn't talk about Dan in real life for 10 minutes this time. We have a listener question, Sean. Robot, play the drop.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
So our first reader question, and only reader question, is it comes from friend of our pod and America's special little boy, Josh Androsky. Listen to Josh's podcast called I Am Ready for Some Football.
Mm-hmm.
It's I would say it is the it's a cousin to this podcast.
Yeah, it's the only football podcast that I listen to.
Yeah, me too. But Josh sent us a picture of a Mark Jackson basketball card, Sean. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's been going around the internet. And sitting in the front row behind Mark Jackson are the Menendez brothers.
Yes. And someone else did the research. I have not checked this research, which said that because of when the photo's from, you can tell that it's between the time they murdered their parents mm-hmm. and when they were on trial for murdering their parents. So this was when they were, it seems like, just trying to spend as much money as possible because they knew they were going to jail.
Yeah.
I think that's the idea, because they're sitting courtside.
So Josh asks, I still haven't read Josh's question.
Oh, yeah.
Josh asks, which famous killers would make the most sense in various NBA players' cards? Also, justify why the Menendez brothers belong on Mark Jackson's.
Okay, first of all, it's hard to find an NBA player who's a bigger monster than the Menendez brothers, and that's why they're on Mark Jackson's card.
Because
you'd be like, oh, yeah, these guys probably hang out together to distract you from Mark Jackson's pure evil. You're like, oh, here's some relatively, he might not be as bad.
I think it's because when the Menendez brothers killed their parents, this is in the legal documents. Mm-hmm. You can see it. Eric looked at Lyle and he said, hand down, dad down.
I would have gone for hand down manslaughter, but that's good too.
He also Eric, when they killed the mom, looked at Lyle and said, excuse me, man, there goes that mama.
The other thing is that all it would take for Jeff Van Gundy to defend the Menendez brothers is to suggest that Eric had once spent a day coaching a children's basketball team. And he'd be like, you gotta defend that coach!
Do you think the Van Gundys...
for coaches.
Do you think the Van Gundys ever thought about killing their parents? Probably not, right?
I don't think so. I mean, they're just Martinez. It's not, yeah. It's just not that exciting. They'd be like, oh man, I'm so mad at mom and dad. And they're like, do you want to go down to the marina? Yeah. And then that would be it.
All right. So, Sean, first part of the question, though. What killer should be on what basketball player's card?
I think it'd be kind of funny you had like Blazers, Sean Kemp, and Jeffrey Dahmer was in the background, because you'd be like, they're both been eating too much. It's a living.
I think Ted Bundy clearly belongs behind Rick Barry somewhere the basketball court. Same haircut, same personality. Just let's just get that together, universe.
I think maybe if they ever released a card for James Dolan, I think it would be cool to have like Robert Blake hanging around in the background. Oh, and Phil Spector, both of those guys just sitting courtside.
Phil Spector probably is on a Donald Sterling card. Oh my god! Right?
Yeah, it's very possible that that's the case. Phil was like so high he thought he bought tickets to a Laker game. It's like, oh, what the hell is this?
On a plus side, not a killer, but I would like to see Patty Hearst as Tanya behind Bill Walton somewhere.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Because if you don't know the story of the Patty Hearst kidnapping, Bill Walton is actually briefly involved.
Oh, that's right. Right. Aren't they? It's like a house he rented or something, right?
He hung out, this like sports writer guy was in his entourage, and the sports writer guy helped the SLA like run away to Connecticut at one point. But Bill Walton had to give a press conference on the steps of Glide Memorial Church.
Oh, well, that's why you'd have to have various members of the Manson family behind Jerry West, too, because Jerry West thought he was a target during that
time. Hey, look, a lot of people say Jerry West is not lying.
Yeah.
I think Jerry West is probably lying.
It could have. I mean, they were just trying to kill famous people, so, but they don't seem like dedicated enough for a tale. You know?
I also just don't think basketball was famous enough at that point.
Yeah, I mean? Well, look, Joey, you say this, but we did award the Beach Boys the Rock and Roll 5-on-5 title. So, although Manson must have hated, he was pretty short. He would have been a bad basketball player. The other one, I'd like to see Christopher Dorner in the background of one of Shaq's cards.
Oh, man. Just like pointing a finger gun at him,
ominously just staring. Yeah,
because Chris Dorner hates dirty cops, and like dirty as cops. Always, Shaq, dirty cop.
One of don't the dirtier forget, cops people. Out there. Don't forget. Once was with a SWAT team that raided the wrong house, and, really messed up that house.
But also,
I believe he was deputized by Sheriff Joe too. Isn't that right?
Friend of Frankie Muniz, Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
Wow. I mean, the thing is, this is one of those stories where I realize, like, wow, we just cover everything on this podcast.
Yeah, we really are your go-to for all of the world. Anyone else, you think?
Yeah, Klaus Van Bulow behind Bill Laimbeer. And Dershowitz just on the side like, I don't know what to do. Why won't these Piston fans talk to me at Martha's Vineyard anymore?
There is actually a serial killer on a basketball card, though. You know that, right?
Oh, really?
Dolph Schayes is the Zodiac.
Right, yeah.
Everyone knows that.
That's true.
All right. Should we go to the news, Sean?
Let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, our first piece of news. Sean, you're going to have to read a bunch of these to me, okay. I think, because this first one in particular, I think there are questions specific to a piece of knowledge I might own.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so what we figured out today, so this actually happened a couple months ago. The Philadelphia 76ers in October, I guess they filed for this patent at the end of September. They tried to trademark
not a patent.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tried to trademark the phrase "trust the process,"
which is, I'm going to say, about 3 years too late.
Yeah, but the problem was it was associated with Sam Hinkie, who they hate, and so anyway, they tried to. They've been using it in ads. You can buy like "trust the process" shirts at the Sixers team store. The problem is that it has been trademarked. It was trademarked on January 2nd, 2015 by the Prophet himself.
CNBC's The Prophet, the CEO of Camping World, Marcus Lemonis.
One of our favorite billionaires.
The Prophet, only good billionaire, the I've Prophet, said,
a pretty,
I believe.
A pretty good show, even though it is kind of boring.
It's super boring.
Their timeline to see if a business is succeeding is a little bit compressed by their production schedule. That they make all these changes and they're like, well, it's been 6 weeks. Do you have a sustainable business? But also the Prophet.
But
on
we should
his...
probably explain what the Prophet is.
Sorry. The Prophet.
The Prophet is like a super low stakes Shark Tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like it's this rich guy going around helping like a single bagel store.
And he always demands like a lot of equity in the company for his investment, but he also seems pretty committed to trying to make them succeed.
Right. It's not like it doesn't end with the deal. The show starts with the deal.
Yeah. And it's usually like, yeah, he just empowered this low-level employee to, you know, like it's.
Anyway, we figured this out tonight because I follow CNBC's The Prophet, Marcus Lemonis, on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And tonight he tweeted, "Hey, at Sixers and at Joel Embiid, hashtag The Prophet, this should be fun for me, hashtag trademark, hashtag yeah, buddy."
The yeah, buddy is very funny.
Which means he's going to sue the Sixers and Joel Embiid.
Yes, right? Well, he trademarked it a long time ago. So the origin of Trust the Process, it really is something that it's like very business school speak. But the first anyone really said the phrase related to the Sixers was just some blogger just mentioned it and was like, "Trust Hinkie, trust the process," like summer of 2014. And then Joel Embiid tweeted it with a bunch of exclamation points a couple months later, but like it really got picked up when Tony Roten was getting interviewed by Pablo Torre, and he said "trust the process" in an interview, and it ended up in ESPN the magazine, and then Sixers bloggers started making shirts that said "trust the process." There's a shirt that has like a bunch of ping pong balls, and it says "trust the process."
Marcus Lemonis should sue those bloggers.
Yeah, it's true. But I don't think he was selling the merch then, and he applied on January 2nd. So actually, he applied for it before Tony Roten even gave that quote, which means it was just like some stuff he said on The Prophet, I'm sure, or just in his personal life.
But who would know that? Because I'm the only person who watches The Prophet.
If you go to his website, there is plenty of Trust the Process merch available there, and it looks like it's like just a regular part of the collection, like. I think you can get a toque that says it, even.
Hey, Sean, how much does it cost to file a trademark?
I don't really know, but it's not that much.
We should file a trademark for Trust the Prophet.
Trust the Prophet. Yeah, yeah. I would.
Yeah.
And it's just him dunking on Joel Embiid. Yeah. Because Joel Embiid tried to just trademark The Process. Because he was like, "Oh, that's my nickname. I'm The Process." And then people were like, "That's sort of a weird designation to apply to a guy. Also, your name is already Embiid, and that's way more evocative." But basically what they did was the Sixers drafted a phrase. And then the Prophet broke that trademark's foot. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's a broken patent, and they're like, "Oh, why did we invest so much in this?" And now they're going to have to, like, what if they had to attach a second-round pick to the Prophet. Like, all the NBA teams have one, and then the Prophet just has one to, like, do what he wants. And he's like, all right, I'll give you this second round pick, but I want some equity in the team.
Well, the shady thing we're not really talking about here is that the Sixers filed their trademark after Joel Embiid filed his.
Yeah, like over a year later, I believe.
Yeah.
Or about a year. About a year later.
I believe it was sort of in a way to, like, their trademark filing was to not, like, to kind of take that from Joel Embiid, I believe, a little bit.
Yeah, and they were really mad about him calling himself the Process because it reminded them of the GM they fired and replaced with a guy with volatile social media habits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think Colangelo's legacy is going to be the burner accounts, or is it going to be the Markelle Fultz trade?
Burner accounts.
I think it's the burner accounts, too. It's so weird. Like,
they're both connected, but yeah.
Okay, so Joey, you watch The Prophet.
I do.
Do you feel like this is something that The Prophet is going to just, like, let go of?
Oh, no, he's for sure going to sue them and win.
Yeah, he's 100%. Absolutely, because the trademark is from January 2nd, 2015.
And he's been selling merchandise that say Trust the Process since that point.
Definitely for a while. It's not new. And apparently has, like, reached out to them a couple times and just been like, hey, I trademarked this phrase years ago. You can't do that. And you know who would have never let this happen, Joey?
Who?
Pat Riley.
No, oh God, that guy.
I'm kind of surprised Pat Riley didn't already have the trademark. Like, I kind of wonder if Pat Riley, like, has a secret Twitter account that he's just looking for catchphrases with. Okay, do you believe that this is karmic punishment from the team being run by a bunch of hedge fund dickheads already? Other businessman trademarked this.
Yeah. A businessman who, again, I sort of joke when I say he's the only good billionaire because there are no good billionaires. But he also is a businessman who runs Camping World and is pro higher taxes for businesses and also told Trump people, I don't want people who voted for Trump shopping at Camping World.
We haven't been doing the woke off this year, but I think the Prophet might have joined the woke off now that he has an NBA connection.
But yeah, like, fuck the Sixers. This is so stupid. Yeah. How did they not trademark this?
It's like asinine.
The Chris Cohan Warriors, one of the most, like, poorly run teams ever. Still, when they had a catchphrase, trademarked it right away.
Yeah, they got,
in
we
fact,
believe,
pushing out a small businessman and and season ticket holder in the process.
Well, you gotta trust that terrible process. Okay, Joey, I do have a question for you. What would the Prophet do about Markelle Fultz?
Oh, he would absolutely fix Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
Like, 100%, for sure.
He'd be like...
He would build him up.
Mm-hmm. He'd be like, look, you can see my personal physician, but you're under no pressure, and you know what? We're going to pick up your fourth-year option right now.
Yeah, no, he would be writing him a bonus check.
Mm-hmm. Just like, I'm sorry you had to go through that and that misdiagnosis, but this organization is behind you.
Yeah, exactly.
So funny. The Sixers, they blow it all the time.
Yeah, they're definitely going to blow this. I'm sorry, Sixers fans, but...
They've already blown it.
But, like, so this team is getting blown up Orlando Magic style, like, 2 years from now, right? Shaq and Penny Orlando Magic style?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
It's the only possible ending, where we're talking about them like the Gary Payton Sonics, too, where it's just like, oh, that was a really fun team that wasn't around for very long.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, that Payton Sonics team made the finals. I don't know about these Sixers.
They can make a finals, probably.
Yeah, they can make the finals this year.
Yeah. But more likely next year, though.
They're just so hateable, though. Even though I like pretty much all the players.
And I like Elton Brand.
Yeah.
Elton Brand seems like a legitimately good and nice guy.
But their owner...
also once produced a Werner Herzog movie.
Which one did he produce?
Rescue Dawn, dude.
Wow! Well, I actually just watched Little Dieter, so I'm excited to see that Brand production. Elton Brand and Baron Davis are the two NBA players who have done the most sort of like Hollywood stuff that is like not related to basketball at all.
Yeah, for sure.
Just like a psychological thriller from the guy who brought you dunking on Andrei Kirilenko.
Like a really thoughtful documentary about the history of the Crips and Bloods. Directed by a skateboard guy. Produced by Laura Dern's boyfriend.
That's right. God, I had forgotten that was still a power couple. Good job, both
Hopefully.
Of those guys.
I haven't seen a picture of them in a while. I hope so.
Why not? They'd be great for each other.
All right.
Now, imagine dating Jeff Goldblum and Baron Davis.
And being married to Ben Harper.
What a weird... Do you think he did everything sitting down? I know he played the guitar on his lap, but is he doing dishes that way?
This means her type Tall is guys? Just weed.
Oh, yeah, that is her type. Yeah, like good, reliable weed hookups and like a really chill guy. Like, don't those seem like three of the more relaxed people in the world?
Yes, for sure. All right, let's move on to our next story. We have a lot of stories.
We do have a bunch. This one's very rich, too.
The fucking Bulls, dude. Jim Boylan is like... Are the Bulls going to be the first team to fire two coaches in one season?
Yeah, I can't remember that happening. It almost happened with the Kings, when George Karl came in. I think he almost got fired. But Boylan's like an interim coach where they were like, don't worry about it, he's got a secure job. And then just poured kerosene on this organization immediately.
Walk us through this, Sean, because you have all the notes.
All right, so the big... I'm going to start... in media res, Paradise Lost style here.
Hold on. Whose basketball card should the West Memphis 3 be behind?
Oh my god, well I think Tony Allen, right? Because there was like, good. That appeals process is the ultimate grit and grind.
Yeah, but there's a certain... Edward Furlong-y 90s thing Tony Allen doesn't fit.
You're right, and he's not around at that point, so he can't actually. There is no team in Memphis.
Mike Miller would have made the most sense actually. Mike Miller.
He's got a real vibe of he had a pet monkey too. I mean, didn't they basically go to jail for being weirdos?
Yeah, he had the hair of a West Memphis. Three or two.
Well, I mean, and he's like, he put up a lot of threes too, you know.
Yeah, man. His nickname really should have been the West Memphis Three.
You can't lock him up anymore, man. You've got no alibi for Mike Miller, West Memphis Three.
All right, Sean.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yes.
Who should be whose basketball card would the Jinx Robert Durst be in the background of?
That's the one actually that he should be. Well, I guess he's more New York. I was gonna say he should be on the Sterling card with Bill Spector.
Just them all hanging out together.
But there's got to be you know what? I'm going to say, he's New Jersey. Yeah. But I think New Jersey Nets Darren Williams is the perfect
card
for the Jinx to be behind.
Yeah. I could, yeah, I think that's
just
a good
one. Like burping.
Yeah. Either that or like in Frederick Weiss's only basketball card, like Durst is in the background. Okay, sorry, Jim Boylan. Everything blew up. Okay, Saturday night, he benched all five of his starters during the game twice, and then had heavily
very normal thing for a coach to do. Regular.
Heavily implied that there was going to be an intense practice the next day. The players apparently tried to talk him out of it and came very close to boycotting the practice entirely. Showed up, had a players-only meeting. Just a great
sign. That lasted 2 hours.
2 hours, and then there was a meeting with the coach.
And Garpax. They were also Garpax was also in the coach's meeting.
The leaders of this Bulls organization. So I'm just gonna walk through the timeline of Boylan become as a coach because we're still only 8 days into him. Yeah, it's his ninth game. So last Monday, Boylan took over, which, as we mentioned last year, happened when Fred Hoiberg was fired at practice.
Mm-hmm.
He then held a team practice that was more than 2 hours long.
Very cool.
Tuesday, they were playing the Indiana Pacers. Boylan held a 90-minute shoot-around on the morning of the game.
That seems long.
I mean, after 2 hours, but and I guess he just thinks the guys are out of shape. After the game, Boylan made the team watch clips of their turnovers and their problems defensive rebounding, and then he came out when he talked to the press and ripped their conditioning and their toughness.
Very cool.
Wednesday and Thursday, 2.5-hour practices both days, heavy on running. They were described as training camp style practices.
Were right. He was making them run suicides, right?
Yeah, they're running 2 days in a row. again, we're in the basketball season is happening right now. Friday, the Bulls beat the Oklahoma City Thunder at home. Huge win for the team. It was his first victory, and apparently Boylan said he celebrated at home with his family, quote, eating cereal on the couch and watching reruns of Family Feud.
Okay, Sean, before you go to Saturday,
yeah,
two questions for you. What kind of cereal do you think Jim Boylan was eating?
Oh, my God. Well, it's like, it's clearly something that he's holding out to himself as a treat that you can eat as a snack. But I kind of think he's like a pretty bull. I think he's eating Corn Pops. Like just like they're
super sugary.
You know, now that I'm saying it, I think he's eating Chex.
I think he's eating heated up grape nuts.
But it's like the way it's phrased here, it makes me think that it's like a giant bowl of cereal, like a bowl of popcorn, and the whole family is eating.
Do they all
have bowls of cereal? Is it one communal bowl of cereal? And it's like,
it's like when you get a giant ice cream sundae for somebody's birthday at one of those things.
Yeah, we just fill this trough with milk, pour in the Cookie Crisp, and
watch a whole
week's worth of family. By the way, yeah, go ahead. Sorry, ask
this
your
is
question.
Which Family Feud?
Oh,
is it the one hosted by the guy that killed himself? Is it the Richard Dawson originals? Is it fucking what's his face? Steve Harvey?
My take is that it's Steve Harvey. It's that he's DVR'd all the episodes from the week, and he and the entire family are catching up together because it's Friday night and they want to stay current.
I think he's watching Richard Dawson, and it's on Antenna TV.
And he's just got, like, old VHS tapes that he's put
in. No, Antenna TV, they have, like, an old game show channel that only shows, like...
Oh, well, we should...
Those fucking old, like, 70s, 60s and 70s game shows. It's all, like, Match Game. They all have Richard Dawson. It's all, like, Match Game and Family Feud and, like, old Hollywood Squares.
Well, I would... Yeah, maybe we should check the TV listings and see if that was broadcasting at the time. I think he's a completist, but I could see how maybe the Steve Harvey stuff
there
would be a little
dirty. There is no way
for him.
Boylan pays for cable.
Do you think doesn't he have to watch basketball? What if he doesn't pay for cable, but he has a TiVo? Would that work?
Yeah, I mean, he's using Hoiberg's League Pass login still.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
On an iPad. He's not watching basketball on TV. It's on an iPad.
Yeah, it's like, this is family time. This is for cereal and for wholesome game shows. That's what we're doing. Okay, so that happens. Saturday, the Boston Celtics come to town for a back-to-back. Now, this is...
The Celtics, who we've made fun of a lot for being bad, but actually are, like... kind of hot right now. They're sort of on fire.
Yeah, but just in general, yeah. A clearly superior team to the Chicago Bulls, who they are playing
100%
after they just played, had an emotional victory the night before, and have been practicing for 2 hours a day most of the week. The Bulls fall behind 13-0 to start the game, and after 4 minutes and 45 seconds, Jim Boylan pulls all five starters. Now, if you look at that, they were shooting pretty badly. Mm-hmm. But it kind of seems like they could have been further behind. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't make any of your shots for 5 minutes, holding the other team to 13 is kind of not that bad. Does that make sense? Like, because they're getting rebounds. They're presumably getting a lot of...
This team is really hurt, right?
Yeah, Chris Dunn was not back. The rotation included Cameron Payne and Chandler Hutchinson.
But, like, Ryan Arciadecano was starting, right?
He's been starting all year, yeah.
He's one of the starters that he benched.
Yeah, the starters he benched included I think Wendell Carter is starting. I'm going to actually just look this up. But it's not... It does not seem like it was a bunch of entitled dudes. Like,
right. It's
like
not,
he got mad at the
Jabari
team.
Parker and Zach LaVine are the only entitled dudes on the team, right?
Yeah, so the starters he was benching, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., Justin Holiday, Ryan Arciadecano, and Zach LaVine. So, like... I mean, I guess Justin Holiday is
I'll tell you, there's one guy that should be benched there.
And that's...
You know who it is.
Ryan Arciadecano.
No, it's Jabari Parker.
No, but he's not starting, though. He was not one of the starters they benched.
Oh, sorry. I misheard you.
Lowry, Carter, Holiday, Arciadecano, and LaVine. Which, like, if you just put those five guys out against the Celtics starters for any random five-minute stretch of basketball, is 13-0 that improbable?
No. Anyway,
so they fall behind. He plays the starters because they didn't play in the first quarter. They play most of the second quarter and end up getting outscored 29-26. So they are behind by a bunch, but, you know, the starters themselves seem to be playing the Celtics even. Third quarter starts, starters come back in. Boston starts 5-3. And after 2 minutes and 58 seconds, Jim Boylan has seen enough.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that was it.
The third quarter started what? 5-3?
Boston outscored them 5-3 over a 2 minute and 58 second stretch.
Wow, I would trade all of those
Jim Boylan
guys.
Had seen enough, and he was like, I know, these starters, they think they're so secure in their jobs. Definitely Justin Holiday and Ryan Arciadecano are entitled starters and not people on the very periphery of the NBA, only starting because of our team's wildly incompetent front office. Not to mention that at least one of them is playing severely out of position at small forward. Justin Holiday's the small forward on that team. Have you seen what that guy looks like? He weighs 180 pounds. Yeah. He's a little heavier than he was on the Warriors, but, like, he's guarding Jason Tatum or Marcus Morris. Like, oh, the guy's going to have a little trouble getting a rebound? No shit, dude. Like,
well,
like,
you know who's not a point guard? Zach LaVine or Ryan Arciadecano.
It doesn't make any sense. Anyway.
Or Justin Holiday.
Yeah.
Justin Holiday, I'm going to say, is more of a point guard than those other two guys.
I mean.
Probably. At least his brothers are point guards.
Yeah. And so after the game, Jim Boylan talks really arrogantly and is like, yeah,
they lose by 56.
They lose by 56 points. They lose by 56 points.
Worst loss in Chicago Bulls history.
Booed off the court by the fans. And he claimed that he pulled all the starters out because he was sending a message, but also he wanted to have a hard practice on Sunday, and if they hadn't benched him, they would double lose. Now, granted, he's complaining about the team's lack of pride in losing by 56, but they were down 23 when the starters came out. Admittedly, that's bad, but the reason they lost by 56 is that he decided to play for the final 21 minutes of the game with Cristiano Felicio, Chandler Hutchison. Shaq Harrison played 29 minutes. Cameron Payne played 25 minutes.
Like, Shaq Harrison, a guy who was waived by the Suns,
yeah,
a team that really needs a point guard.
He was minus 43 in this game. Again, not really his fault. He even shot 8 for 15, but, you know, he was playing with Antonio Blakeney, Jabari Parker, and a rookie from Boise State.
Now, we should make it clear, too, again, that, okay, so we're going into Sunday here. Their only day off. And they have played Friday, Saturday, and they're playing Monday. And he wants to run another two-hour practice on Sunday.
So the players apparently tried.
Keep going.
They tried to talk him out of it on Saturday night. Then they had a text chain about not showing up or getting to practice and then all leaving at the same time. They were talked out of that by Robin Lopez and Lauri Markkanen, which is a good sign for Lauri, but also kind of a bad sign that there was a mutiny. Again, he was hired on Monday. He had been the coach for less than 6 days at this point. So instead, players only meeting with guard packs. And apparently at one point in the meeting with the coaches and the players, Boylan had someone else reveal that he had merely planned to hold a film session and let players get shots up today instead of a hard practice. And he did that to show players how they need to learn to trust him. Which
I have a guess about who revealed that.
Who was it?
Gar Forman.
Yeah, I think it was too. Also, that's not a way to trust someone, to let them know that you deceived them.
Yeah, a lie.
Like, oh, I was just saying, you got to trust me when I imply that something difficult is going to be there. It's like, no, they did trust you. They trusted that you would have a super hard practice.
I get all my girlfriends to trust me by cheating on them.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you do it. So then on Monday, after all of this, the Bulls came back. They rallied together. They led the Sacramento Kings by 11 at halftime.
That probably ended well, right?
No, they lost by 19 points.
Oh, so great. Were they booed off the court by the Chicago fans?
They were booed off the court, too.
Okay, cool. Cool.
And today...
Big Polsky on an asphalt paver was waving a sign that said boo.
He's already egged Jim Boylan's house. I believe Big Polsky has done that. And now, the saddest part of all, Jim Boylan says he's forming a leadership committee, which will be made of a sparkling of the layers of our team. So I guess that means...
Excuse me? What does that mean? A sparkling of the layers of our team?
I guess like a star, a starter that's not like an old guy and a young guy, but also the Bulls kind of just have one shitty layer on their team. You know what I mean? They have like two promising young guys, two unfortunately overpaid young-ish guys, and then a bunch of dudes that aren't going to be on the Bulls for very long. Like their future is not in Chicago.
What? Have you ever heard of a team forming a leadership committee?
Yeah,
like,
football
is this like
teams.
A college?
Well, the time I can remember that happening was Tom Coughlin did it with the Giants when he was about to get fired. But at least that makes sense because there's 53 people on a football team. I can see how, you know, you're a reserve defensive lineman. You're like, how am I ever going to speak to the coach? But there's a maximum of 15 players on this Bulls roster. Some of them will be in a D-League game. Why are you adding a committee? Also, what if the committee is like 8 guys? Also, I wonder if the committee, like, if it's a sparkling, does that have to be at least one player who wanted to boycott practice and at least one player who thought they should show up?
Can I read you some of these Jim Boylan quotes that you just have at the bottom of our notes here?
Oh, and Jim Boylan also said he formed that leadership committee. It doesn't mean he's not the head coach. Great phrase. A week in your job.
All right. So I'm just going to read you 5 quotes here.
Please.
Just, we can talk about them after, but just put on your glasses and imagine your imaginary glasses and imagine I'm Jim Boylan here and not the one suing Dan Gilbert. Pops up to 5 guys a ton of times and nobody says a word to him about it.
Yeah, he did do that, but he didn't sub out 5 guys and then keep them out for 20 minutes. Like, also his guys were like NBA veteran starters and not guys who were thrust into the starting lineup because of malfeasance by the front office and or medical staff. That Bulls medical staff, man, what is... They're no good. They almost killed Luol Deng. Derrick Rose is like a viable NBA player once he just left the Bulls and the Knicks. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, yeah, this is a brace. You can wear this on your knee. And he's like, oh, I don't just have to get into a rusty tub with an outboard motor in it.
I think your play's embarrassing. Me subbing them is me saving them. Maybe. Maybe we saved them.
Maybe. But I think he actually embarrassed them because they all said they were embarrassed.
Less like a quote from a coach and more like a quote from like a vigilante.
Yeah, it's like a... It sounds like a quote from a dad who like... murdered his own daughter because she got pregnant. And he's like, yeah, maybe I'm saving her from hell. I think your pregnancy is embarrassing.
Nobody is going to make more mistakes than I do because I have a lot of responsibility and make a lot of decisions. I'm not going to get them all right, but this is not a hobby for me. We're going to keep working and grinding and communicating and hugging and crying and laughing and moving forward. That's what's going to happen here.
Okay, I'm going to say that's ominous.
Yeah.
Like that your coach is like, I've been on the job a lot, but believe me, there's going to be a lot of hugging and crying. It's like, that's like saying I am abusive.
The only thing more ominous than that is eating cereal and watching reruns of Family Feud.
Imagine being in his family and being like, we won a game, so that means you're allowed to have cereal again. Also, you have 2.5 hours of chores tomorrow.
But also, like, you've been on the job for 4 days and you're already like saying about like talking about your responsibility and how many decisions you make. Yeah. That's some like straight up David Blatt shit.
That really is. The other thing that really strikes me is that he was an assistant for the entirety of the Hoiberg era. Mm-hmm. What this is the principal's out sick and the vice principal just becomes insane with power. Right away.
And then finally, first impressions last a lifetime.
Oh my god. I mean, how is there any going back from this? I mean, I guess maybe it doesn't matter because, you know, there's like 3 guys on the roster right now that are going to be around long term, but like, why poison them?
I don't know, dude. Like,
Wendell Carter's 19 years old. Like, isn't Lowry, like, 20? And they've just got this, like, balding wreck of a man screaming at them and making them run suicides. And they're just like, that's worse than Coach K. And Coach K is, like, literally a demon.
Yeah. These are quotes that... If I told you they were from the Gerard Butler movie Den of Thieves and then read them, you'd be like, yeah, this checks out.
Isn't it good that your new boss is like, look, this isn't a hobby for me? And you're like, I fucking hope so. Like, Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah, also it's not his hobby because his hobby is eating cereal and watching reruns of Family Feud.
All right, that's enough about the Bulls. Let's talk about the trade
system. Yeah.
We had a trade, dude.
Mm-hmm.
George Hill traded to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Milwaukee got George Hill, Jason Smith, and a second round pick in 2021 from the Washington Wizards. They traded John Henson, Matthew Dellavedova, a number one pick that is so protected it's not even going to get transferred, I don't think.
Oh, that 2021 pick.
Yeah, because it's protected from 1 to 15 and then like 20 to 30. And then it becomes 2 second round picks.
Well, that's does not seem too bad. Oh yeah, it's hold on. Well, I think that pick might be unprotected actually. Maybe not.
No, it's got crazy protections on it. Oh, okay. I heard.
I know their pick next. Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
I heard it's never going to convey. It's never conveying.
I mean, basically, it'll convey. This works if everything goes terribly with Giannis and he leaves in 2021. But
even then, they'll be bad enough where they'll have a top 10 pick. With no Giannis. Oh,
yeah, you're right. It's lottery protected.
Yeah, it's protected on the back and the front.
That's amazing. Yeah, and they don't even get those 2 second round picks till 2025.
Yeah, it has to fall almost in the middle 10 of the lottery. I mean, of the first round of the draft.
But 5 years from now. And then. Yeah, this is just like throwing a freaking dart. Oh, also, the projections could be pushed back. If because the Bucks are not going to give Phoenix their pick this year, which right. means that everything shifts back a full year. So they might get 2 second round picks 8 years from now.
Yeah.
I think that's worth the risk to pick up George Hill.
Yeah. And it also more importantly, George Hill is expiring, so Milwaukee's never gonna pay the tax. So what this really is it's them they're gonna keep Middleton and Bledsoe.
Yeah, I looked and it's like complicated, but basically Henson and Dellavedova are both signed for pretty big money next year as well. And so this is going to give them, because they don't have to sign Middleton or Brogdon right away next year, even if they want to sign them, they've got $22 million in cap space.
Yeah, so then Cleveland gets Matthew Dellavedova, John Henson, the three Milwaukee second round picks, I guess.
Yeah, let's call them what they really are.
And then a second round pick from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trading Sam Decker to Washington. Washington gets Sam Decker and Cleveland's number two pick. A second round pick. But they traded 2 second round picks and Jason Smith.
Yeah, so they basically did that to save like $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I guess they're only out 1 second round pick because they get Cleveland's 2021 pick instead of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Such a weird element to a trade where you're like, I want a pick swap in the second round 4 years from now.
I mean,
I feel like that's something you trick the other GM into thinking he got over you.
I'm just happy for Sam Decker because when he's out of the league in a year and a half, now he can very easily just become a lobbyist.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a lot to say about the mistreatment of white people and the lack of prominence of Wisconsin high school basketball.
Although he had nothing to say about net neutrality that one time, though, yeah, remember?
It was weird. I feel like he was probably he was like one of those guys who went to the Wisconsin state capitol to like cheer on the Republicans trying to steal the government.
And then Cleveland, of course, they get to win the lottery every year after LeBron leaves. So congratulations. That is what
Dan Gilbert believes. So
the John Henson, Zion Williamson, Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance front court.
Oh my god!
Should really just play make those some four waves
with Colin Sexton. Man, he's going to shoot every time anyway.
I don't really have much to say. Oh, and Kevin Love. We also forgot to mention Kevin Love is also there.
Untradeable and can't even really buy him out for a while. So congratulations, Kevin Love. All right, Joey, how much does this help Milwaukee this year?
I think it could help. I mean, George Hill's pretty good when he's healthy and trying. And I don't know, he seems very... What I do like about George Hill is, to me, Malcolm Brogdon is like, he's just George Hill again. Mm-hmm. So it's always good when you can, like, show a young version of the old version of himself and be like, here's some tricks, dude.
Yeah, and he, boy, he has really plummeted in value as a commodity, hasn't he?
George Hill or Malcolm Brogdon?
No, George Hill. Malcolm Brogdon. Buying his stock is rising. Dude doesn't miss.
Look, this is why you don't sign with the Kings.
Yeah. Man, I wish he was... I do kind of wish he was going to the Spurs, though.
George Hill?
Yeah.
I mean, he should have just stayed in Utah.
Yeah, that's
right. He was really good in Utah.
Also, they were going to give him all that money because they had that, like, expiring cap space that they ended up using. I think all they did was use it to trade for Rubio like a day before the end of the league year. But yeah, George Hill really gave up a lot of money doing that too. He should have stayed. Okay, how long until George Hill is hurt again, Joey?
It's gonna be pretty soon.
He might be hurt right now.
Yeah.
Okay, now apparently, and I did not know
is
this was
there
the case.
More, you know how on the internet when people post like a picture and say cursed image?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a more cursed image than that picture of the Pacers?
Oh my God.
Where they like have their shirts off.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing has gone well for either any of those guys.
And at all. I mean,
since that picture was taken. Yeah. I mean, I guess David West won two championships, but he also almost died of meningitis.
That's right. That was terrible how that happened.
Roy Hibbert might as well have died from meningitis.
Lance Stephenson is about to be exiled from the league.
Yeah. George Hill has had a real tough time here.
Lance Stephenson might lose his job to Carmelo Anthony, right?
Yeah, I think he might.
In 2018.
And Paul P, Paul George.
Lives
you know,
in
he hasn't
City
exactly
now.
Had an easy time. Yeah.
Fresno East, Oklahoma City. No, he's having a great year, though. Congratulations.
Yeah, he's been great
regular
this year.
Season P.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a rough journey. Sim Zappy, proud of you, Paul George. Okay, so I didn't realize this, but apparently the Wizards locker room was devastated to hear about this trade.
I'm sure.
Because Jason Smith is like apparently such a good dude that he was he was like a groomsman for an assistant equipment manager this summer. He's like the dude who does all the dumb, he does like the silly stadium operations videos, but he also does the serious ones.
Mm-hmm.
And
like it makes sense. Wizards do you want to ask John Wall to do something for you?
No, I mean,
if you're like a lower level video guy,
absolutely not. I mean, no, none of them. I don't want to watch that. None of them. So my question is losing Jason Smith possibly pulling the final Jenga piece from the house of cards that is the Washington Wizards locker room?
I know, dude.
I'm mixing my metaphors, but they mixed up that team.
I just want them just blow it up, man. It'll be so exciting. I mean, just want it all to fall apart right now. We haven't had enough drama this year.
Well, it's like Boylan like jumped on their chance to collapse right away, where they're like, all right, we're gonna have to like dress for a holiday. Really embarrass ourselves. I mean, they did lose to the Cavs this week.
Mm-hmm.
They're really falling apart.
All right, do you have one more question here?
I have one more question I want to ask you. Has Mike Love called his nephew Kevin to make fun of him yet?
Every damn day, dude.
Yeah, every day. It's just
he calls him up and he's like, oh, you might be able to dunk, but I'll sing your ass into the grave any day of the week, Kevin.
I also imagine Mike Love as being a guy who would just FaceTime you out of nowhere, like without warning you or anything.
Shirtless, then, but also wearing a hat
with
like a Navy boat call sign on it. That
and occasionally
he
are like,
never
are you
has
peeing
been on
right now? And he's like, I'm putting the camera in my face. What's the big deal? Say hello to Sloop John B, and then you gotta hang up on him.
Okay. There's one more thing I really want to talk about here on this list. Okay. I think we have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Curry said the moon landing was fake on Vince Carter and Kent Bazemore's podcast.
Yes.
Before we get into this story, just generally, I'd like to point out something. If you're a professional athlete, don't go on a podcast. Has anything good ever happened? Look, if I were an agent or a PR person and for an athlete and they told me they were going on a podcast, I'd be like, why don't you listen to Kevin Durant on Bill Simmons, these 5 hours of things? And then get back to me and tell me you want to be on a podcast.
I mean, it's kind of okay to start a podcast. That seems like no one's really gotten in too much trouble. But yeah, going on a different player's podcast and like some overwhelmed team PR person is there trying to keep everything in line. So pretty sure the moon landing was not fake. I've said this before. Yeah.
There's only like three athletes we would ever have on this podcast. Do you remember who they are?
I do not.
It's Anthony Randolph.
Oh, right. Standing invite, Anthony.
Yeah. I believe we'd have Jack Cooley on.
Oh, for sure.
Summer League
he's
hero
like, he's
Jack
like
Cooley.
Someone, I don't feel like that's out of our reach, Joey.
And we there was a third person, man. But I don't remember who. Baron Davis. We would also have Baron Davis on. But anyway, Steph Curry, the moon landing is not fake, right, Sean?
Fairly sure of that.
I'm like 99% sure we've been to the moon.
I'm not even really sure of the reason to think it's fake. Like, I don't know what the point of faking it would have. Like, I understand, like, 9/11 conspiracies and JFK conspiracies, because like obviously someone had something to gain and something to cover up. What's the benefit of faking a moon landing?
Beating the Russians,
right?
I would believe if somebody told me, yes, we've been to the moon, but that video you've seen of them on the moon is not on the moon. They filmed that later because the camera didn't work or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That I'd believe. But
yeah,
never going to the moon? Like, come on, dude.
Yeah. I had one other question about this, which is, if you asked Kevin Durant about the moon landing, would he say that astronauts are just fanboys for outer space?
Oh, for sure, dude. Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, you alien groupies.
The crazy thing about this is, first off, I saw someone tweeting, and it's someone I respect, was like, oh, this is all just a PR stunt because Curry's shoes are coming out tomorrow. He's like stealing Kyrie's shine.
That's not
and that
shine
is
for one
asinine
thing.
Because like Kyrie Irving does not want to answer questions about the Earth being flat anymore. Like, he hates it.
Yeah, he regrets saying that, which he was...
absolutely should.
Yeah, and I think he was probably... like, as much as Kyrie Irving probably legitimately believes the world is flat, he's also like... you know, it was just, like, dumb, like, you can't trust anything, kind of, like,
nonsense. He, like, thinks he's being deep.
Yeah, and it was absolutely not worth it, and it kind of ruined his life a little bit. So
yeah, and Steph Curry was not doing that. Steph Curry was actually stating a real belief he had.
Well, and I think he thought everybody would laugh, too, and didn't think about... yeah.
Anyway, NASA invited him. This is clearly how this was going to end anyway. I texted you this yesterday. I was like, here's what's going to happen. Steph Curry and his PR people are too smart. This is going to end with him going to NASA and then coming out and lying to everyone about how he believes they went to the moon. And that is definitely what's happening already.
I had to tell you, I'm like, that just happened 2 hours ago. can we talk about Sports Person of the Year very briefly?
Sure.
So Sports Illustrated gave the Warriors their Sports Person of the Year, formerly the Sportsman of the Year, occasionally named Sportswoman of the Year.
It's the third time it's gone to a team.
Yeah, it went to the U.S. Olympic hockey team. Who's the
The Women's World Cup Brandi Chastain team.
Oh, that's a good team. Other people that have won, not always like the best lasting award. Former winners include...
How many times has Tiger Woods won it?
He has won, I think, only once.
How many times has Lance Armstrong won it?
Lance Armstrong. Tiger Woods has won twice. Armstrong has won once.
Kurt Barry Schilling, Bonds. How many times
Barry
has he
Bonds
won
Barry Bonds has
it?
Not. Can I read them?
Okay, sorry.
There's enough that... So, Joe Paterno won.
Tight.
That's important. No, that Joe Paterno won. Pete Rozelle won. Kind of both good and bad, I guess, with that one. Did I say Pete Rose? Pete Rose won.
You said Pete Rozelle, but...
Oh, Pete Rozelle and Pete Rose. Rose, disgraced gambler, Pete Rozelle. Pete Rose, Jesus, I can't talk. Joe Paterno won. We also have, Lance Armstrong, Tiger Woods. O.J. Simpson did not win, so that's
good.
That
was going to be my next question before you told me to shut up.
Yeah, sorry. Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa shared it.
Tight.
Kurt Schilling won in 2001. The 2004 Boston Red Sox won, which...
Oh, great.
I mean, that's just...
Steroids and racism.
Steroids and racism. And, Coach K won 1 year. Brett Favre won 1 year for his perseverance and his passion. I believe that was, like, a year before
in
the
what,
dick pic.
Like, sending unsolicited dick pics?
Actually, I'm sorry. The dick pics were... Yeah, the dick pics were, like, 1 year later. Okay, that's all the disgraced people, but it's a lot of disgraced people.
But I mean, this checks out then why they'd name the Warriors.
Yeah.
Because, it's all people that, everyone fucking hates, dude.
Well, I was just wondering why they won this year in particular, because it was like, I mean, they did sweep the NBA finals. That's pretty good. But, like, they were kind of frustrating people all year. They yelled at each other a lot. I think it was because of the meningitis. They overcame that meningitis scare, the scariest thing that's happened to a team since that Marshall plane went down, I would say.
Well, I mean, but didn't the year start with them telling Trump off, basically?
Yeah, I guess that's it.
And that's really why?
Yeah, they told off Trump, and more importantly, they told off Josh Duhamel. And that finally took him down a peg. Okay, so I had some candidates that I thought maybe could have also gotten it.
Mm-hmm. Can I say one?
Yeah, please.
Father Time for making Jason Tatum so young.
Oh, yeah. Blessed him. just like kissed him on his little hands. Okay, so I suggested the Boston Garden crowd.
They can win every year. Same difference.
J.R. Smith, because no one's ever, and I can remember in sports history, throwing a bowl of chicken tortilla soup at a coach.
Or forgotten a time in the finals.
Oh, yeah.
He did that within like 3 months of each other.
He also threw someone's cell phone into a construction site. Just so much wonderful stuff. Jamal Khashoggi, the journalist, also Times Man of the Year.
I should have been named Sports Person of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Not like me, Joey Devine, but like me, everyone.
Yeah,
like all of us.
Like
it should have just been a mirror.
Yeah.
Hitler.
The ump that disqualified Serena Williams and was kind of racist.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Nate Duncan, the host of Dunked On, the Dunked On Basketball podcast. whoever keeps throwing a dildo on the field when the Patriots come to Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah, that should actually
3 years in a row. Yeah. That's incredible. That cyberbullying hockey wife who got the team captain and her own husband traded. Okay, Jim Boylan, coach of the Chicago Bulls.
You know what, though? Since Sports Illustrated named their sports person of the year, Sean, I think we, as a podcast, Roundball Rock, should name our sportist of the year.
Yeah.
Do you want to, should we do the announcement?
Yeah, now? we would like to announce it. They have a sports person. We don't think that sports are just restricted to the human race.
The human race was eligible, but we've decided on someone that is better.
And we decided on Irish Greyhound,
Klon the Brian racing Irish Greyhound, Klon Brian Hero. Which, for those readers that don't remember, we talked about him on the episode with David Borey from the All Fantasy Everything podcast.
Yeah.
And he is a racing dog that keeps getting tested positive for cocaine.
Yes. He's a cocaine addicted Irish Greyhound, and he is dominating. Just look up Klon Brian Hero and see. He's overcome the controversy, too. They tried to ban him. He still got nominated for Dog of the Year.
They claimed that the reason he was tested positive for cocaine was because people were patting him on the head and they probably they had cocaine on their hands.
And his trainer successfully delayed the court case until, like, right now. So we're going to see an outcome. But until then, he keeps winning races. And I'm pretty sure he keeps doing cocaine, which is, like, so I don't really know how to get cocaine myself. And this dog, he's got a good connect. He's a winner. He's an international star. Klon Brian Hero. The sports.
Once again, for the third year in a row, Roundball Rock, sportest of the year.
Sports creatures, sportest of the year. Congratulations.
Klon Brian Hero, we love you.
Yeah.
All right. Should that be our show?
I think that's a show.
Yeah, we should end on that big announcement. All right. Sean, plug your show.
Yeah, that's right. I will be co-headlining the San Francisco Punchline very soon, just a week and a half now, December 20th through the 22nd with Sammy Obaid. You can get tickets at livenation.com. Punchline is at 444 Battery Street in San Francisco in the Financial District on top of a parking garage.
And then anything else you want to plug? You got any Yard Barker pieces?
Yeah, I got a thing about sports, a naughty nice list about sports, and then I had there's a thing that should be running very soon about athletes in the year. Anyway, that should be this week. I'll tweet it out.
And then
bad explanation. Sorry,
it's okay. I was just, truth be told, I was just buying time to get a Frankie Muniz tweet anyway. But as always, give us 5-star reviews on whatever podcatcher you use. Subscribe to us on Spotify. Even if you subscribe to us on whatever podcatcher you use, it'll probably help.
Yeah.
Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Or tweet at us at roundrockpod, or call us at 323-682-0342. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where today I tweeted an Instagram link from my Instagram also. Oh, no, from my Instagram, Frankie Muniz 4, that said... You know it's the holiday season when the online orders are through the roof. I always wanted to be a mailman. Keep ordering so I can keep living my fantasy. Our 6-pack mini sampler gift box is the perfect gift for any food lover in your life. Check out my store at www.outrageousoliveoil.com.
It's an olive oil merchant. Oh, I should mention also, I got a new, there's a new Lucas song.
That's, I was getting to now.
Sorry.
This is why I'm the temporary host,
Sean. I'm sorry.
And as always, Sean, we, Grantland Jr. had a big week again this week with their Luka Doncic parody song. And we're not going as viral as they are, and we're really just trying to grab those viral coattails.
Mm-hmm.
So, you've done four of these Luka Doncic songs
so far? This is
the
fourth one, yeah.
Yeah. So, you've done three, and those haven't hit the virality we wanted.
Yeah. I mean, they've gone kind of viral, but
I think this is the one. I think this is the one that's going to take us to the top.
I love it.
Get us those Grantland Jr. clicks.
Uh-huh.
Sean, anything you want to say about your new Luka Doncic song?
It's a romantic song. It's a tribute to a lot of the greats, like Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, and Sean Bradley. Well, yeah, Bublé. I was going to say Sean Bradley. Eduardo Nájera. Those were my influences.
Evan Eschemeyer.
Evan Eschemeyer, Dan Dickow.
Antoine Rigaudot.
Mm-hmm. All those dudes.
All the great Mavs. Well, here it is, Sean's new Luka Doncic song. And we'll be back on Thursday. Trust the process. Don't trust sue process. Me, Marcus Lemonis. and shut it down. Let's all go to outrageous olive oil. Oh, and shut it down. Let's go celebrate Klon Brian Hero being named Sportist of the Year.
When I'm on the road, when the shots go cold, I'll forget Dirk's old, just thinking of you and the way you, Luka Doncic. Yes, you're switchy with your arms so long and your body so soft. Ayton shouldn't have gone in the draft above you. And the way you, Luka Doncic. In that Rockets game, you made CP3 your bitch, tearing that D apart. Better than Dorian Finney-Smith, J.J. Barea should start. Deadly shooting from mid-range, wolf tattoo on your arm, hang up on Danny Ainge. He cannot touch you, just the way you, Luka Doncic.
Ladies and gentlemen, please make it loud for Michael Finley and the Sam Perkins Orchestra.
And when you scream in the face of Coach Rick, telling him to suck your dick, Luka, your numbers are insane. You'll get the bag like Gucci Mane. The only way to contain you is to drug you, just the way you, Luka Doncic.
Oh, Luka, we promise never to sing this live at one of your games. Never.
Just the way you, Luka Doncic.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.